crackers, to the hackers and the crackers. I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, getting firewalled ho. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll sue you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISOs? Let me through my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. To CG, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones. And NASDAQ leave you flat on your back. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial code, source code, ISOs, RANs, zips, sips. Dedicated to the hackers and the crackers.
In the freak scene, the Annie is like your identity. If somebody gets that, you could get owned. Your docs could be dropped all over the internet. Your name, your date of birth, your phone number, your social security number, even your pet's name could get dropped. I was having that dream again. That one where I'm walking through a sea of faces, and then I see Tron. Except I realize that I don't know what he looks like.
Lucky, yo, what the fuck are you doing? This is episode 92 of Binary Revolution Radio.
Oh.
It's April 19th.
Oh, let me get the show notes. Hold on.
Jeez. Man, you just space out sometimes.
Sorry
well,
about
while
that.
You look up the notes, I'll let everybody know that it's April 19th, 2005, Tuesday night again. Episode 92 of Binary Revolution Radio. I am Stank Dog, and as you just heard, somewhere rambling in there, if you couldn't recognize the voice, is our good friend Lucky225. Who seems to be having some issues. You got the notes? Are you with us now?
Yeah, I do believe I'm with you.
All right. What was that shit about Tron and a sea of faces? Never mind. I don't even want to know. I don't even want to know. Teflon.
Sorry, man. I was just spacing out, dude.
All right. Well, let's see. Let's do a little housekeeping here. From last week's episode, some of the listeners in the IRC channel, which is just growing phenomenally, by the way, lots of people listening live to the show, I noticed that we were having a little bit of a problem, or I was having a little bit of a problem connecting and listening to the stream. When I connected, what was happening was I was getting all the bumpers, we call them, or promos, or whatever you want to call it, which normally only play when you connect to the server. It plays a promo or plays a bumper, and then it plays whatever the scheduled show is. And then every time the show changes on the stream, whether they're pre-recorded, during the day schedule, it plays a bumper in between every one of them and then goes on to the next show. Well, for some reason, I just kept getting those bumpers over and over again. And what it turns out was happening, and I had to figure this out kind of trial and error, and asking around in IRC, a lot of people said they were listening to the stream fine on DDP Hack Radio, and some people were saying that they were getting the same error I was. So it was really kind of weird, and, well, the long and short of it was, we had put a maximum number of users on there, 25 users. So, and I had actually upped that from the default, which I think was like 10, I want to say. I wouldn't swear by that. The default list number of users on Icecast, I think, was 10 or 15, and I upped it to 25. Well, we had 25 people and then some trying to listen. So those of us who were trying to connect after that limit was reached were getting bumper, and then it would try to connect, and then a bumper, and then try to connect, and then a bumper, and it just kept going over and over again. So, I figured that out after a few minutes of thinking, what in the world is going on? So, I changed the settings. We're going to watch them very closely here for the next couple weeks and see if we need to, how high we need to take it. Right now, I doubled it to 50. And let's see how much bandwidth that eats up and how many people are connected. And if we got to up it again, we will. We've got the bandwidth. We're paying for it, you know. And if we need more, we'll buy more. We're dedicated to bringing you not only this show, but all the shows on DDP Hack Radio. So, again, I think one of the reasons is because during the show, there's such great discussion and talk and fun stuff going on in the IRC channel. A lot of the stuff we talk about on recent episodes has been stuff that's very timely and some stuff that I'm announcing for the first time, some findings that I have made and some stuff that's never been brought up before or heard anywhere before. like some of the Google AdWords things and some other tricks that we've come up with. So a lot of people are listening to the show live so that they can try them right then and there in IRC and discuss them and work together on them and figure out some cool stuff. So I think that's one of the reasons why people are listening to it live a lot more. Now, there's still people that are downloading it, still greatly outnumber them, but it's still kind of cool to see people listening live. So, again, I think we got that straightened up, and we will watch, try to get in IRC tomorrow. Lucky and I both, you're going to be able to make it in there tomorrow, hopefully?
Yeah, hopefully. I didn't last time because I was asleep. Yeah. I didn't even have work. Look at that. I'm such a slacker.
Yeah, right. Well, and when I say, okay, I guess I ought to explain, I'm saying tomorrow because we're recording on a Monday. So what I actually mean is today. Actually, what I mean is right now. Right now, we're at IRC listening.
Yeah, we should be.
Well, yeah, no guarantees or anything. Ooh, that was kind of weird. We're not there yet, but we will be there, and it'll be, well, whatever.
Yeah.
What else is going on? Oh, I also was having problems last week with Comcast, who is my internet service provider, my cable company on the cable modem. And I was having some problems last week. Luckily, I had already uploaded the show to the server. That's the reason we do it a day early. Sometimes 2 days, Sunday or Monday, we usually pre-record the show. Sometimes on Tuesdays, if we have to at the last minute. But luckily, I had done it and got it uploaded because the day of the stream, on Tuesday of last week, I was having some serious slowdown problems, local DNS problems from Comcast, I can only assume, because I was just taking forever to get out. I had a connection, but it was just so incredibly slow, and every single hop getting out was just having huge ping issues and timeouts and stuff like that. So my local interweb was very, very slow. The global interweb was fine. So the show streamed, and nobody should have had a problem there. But my local interweb was just fucksword. So that was a pain in the ass. And you know what? I had a little rant last week, and I think I got another minor rant this week. So you might want to cover your ears there, Lucky. All right, so I have Comcast, as I mentioned. And Comcast provides me with this little piece of software. And actually, it's part of the installation. I don't even know if you have an option to not have it. I guess you probably could uninstall it. But this little software from support.com, I think, is who makes the software. It's like an outsourced thing for their support. And it's a little tray icon. It sits down there, and it is supposed to help debug and figure out what's wrong and give you support for Comcast service. But I can't for the freaking life of me figure out what good this piece of shit is. I've got this little icon sitting down in the tray that's supposed to tell me what's wrong with the internet. Well, guess what? It doesn't do anything if it doesn't have an internet connection. Well, the only time I fucking need it is when I don't have a fucking internet connection. What the fuck? Why would I have a piece of software down there? I'm having problems with the interweb, like I said. I click on it, and it says unable to connect to website. Well, what fucking good are you then? Why are you there? Why do you exist? Who wrote this piece of shit, and why is it on my computer if it cannot help me? If I'm connected to the interweb, I don't fucking need you now, do I? That's the stupidest fucking thing I've ever heard of. What is your job to sit there and suck up memory and tell me that, oh, nope, I can't connect to the internet either. I guess you're fucked. Well, gee, thank you a whole lot for that, Captain fucking Obvious. I hate these stupid things. There's some that I'm supposed to believe, oh, well, they're providing me this little support icon. That's so awesome. They've got great support. It doesn't do jack shit.
It's called spyware.
Yeah, it's basically all it is. It doesn't do a damn thing. There's no offline anything. Everything it does, it needs to be connected online. It doesn't check my local network settings, make sure that my network connections are working, my configured properly. It doesn't do anything. When you click on this, it says unable to connect to the interweb. No fucking shit! Thank you! Piece of crap. Well, what the hell they're thinking with these stupid ideas like this? Just makes me sick. And God forbid you actually try to call and get somebody and ask them what's going on. They don't even know what a DNS is. Worthless, I'm telling you, just worthless. And as if that's not bad enough, I guess I'm having a bad software week because my other problem this week has been AVG Free, which I've always liked, a good antivirus software program. AVG Free Antivirus, as it turns out, doesn't have support for exclusions built into it because I'm sitting here working on my computer machine And I notice that my task manager shows that I'm not using any of my CPU, which is actually unusual for me. I'm always using a lot of CPU because I'm running the distributed client. It's usually maxed out. So I'm thinking, what the hell? Did I not start it? I have it set to automatically start up. What the hell's going on? Well, AVG decided that it was a Trojan and decided to delete the damn thing for me. And you know what? It's like, okay, I figured it out after a couple seconds. That must have been what happened. I go into the quarantine. I bring it back out. But every time it runs again, it deletes it again. There's no way that I can find anyway. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but in AVG Free Edition, there's no way that I can put on an exclusion that says, this particular file, I want you to ignore it. It's safe. I know it's safe. I put it there myself. It's not a Trojan. Stop deleting it. So I don't know what the hell to do about that. I mean, I just have to keep replacing it or use a different antivirus. And that's why I run two antiviruses. I also run ClamWin antivirus. So, I don't know. AVG Free, your days might be numbered just because you're purely annoying to make me have to recreate my distributed.net client all the time. I can't believe something that small is going to make me get rid of it, but it is, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm having a bad software week, man. I don't know what's up. I've had AVG Free for the longest time, and it never did this in the past. It just happened in the last month or so, I guess.
Maybe it is a Trojan.
Well, good point, but no, I checked it pretty closely.
I don't know, dude. Maybe you got another process or something in that process tree.
Well, for somebody to have gotten that past all of my antivirus, two layers of software firewall, three layers of hardware firewall, they have to do some work.
Oh,
so,
right.
I guess they. And then, even if you got a Trojan in there, to get back out and communicate, you'd have to get through that same level of security again to get back out. So even if you got it in there, by making me click on something stupid in email, which I never do, then it wouldn't be able to communicate with you anyway because I've got it on lockdown. So, anyway, our email theme music is on lockdown too, by the way. All right, our first email this week comes from Scarface from Australia, and I'm going to do a horrible Australian accent, but you know what? I'm going to do it anyway, even though it sucks. Scarface says, co-host and stank dog. Does that sound Australian? Am I even close? I'm not even close, Sam. I'm insulting.
You're a lot closer than some of the blooper edits that we just did.
I'm insulting everybody from Australia, but okay. I just bought myself a shiny new tablet PC. However, I have a dilemma which I hope you can help me with. This ink-based email, while being rather neat, I can't figure out if it's a step forward or a step backward. Also, I guess a lot of people ignore unknown attachments and never open them in fear of... How do you say virai in Australia? I can't do that. Virai.
Virai.
I wonder if you'll even read this letter. Anyway, thanks for the great show. I'm sorry for that horrible accent. It sounded like a funny idea in the warm-up, but I guess it didn't come through as good. Well, Scarface, the message that you sent me actually came across as a GIF file, or as the proper pronunciation for Mr. Black Ratchet out there, the GIF file. I'm still calling
it graphical interface.
Yeah, but it's actually pronounced GIF, and he's right, but I just hate saying the word GIF. It's GIF's a peanut butter. Anyway,
yeah, come on, it's GIF. I don't know what you're talking about. I always say GIF.
I know, most people do, and technically it's wrong, but I'm sticking with GIF. Anyway, it came across as a GIF file and a .mht file. Those are the two files I actually got. So I opened the GIF file because I knew that would be safe, and it was obvious to me what it was coming from. He sent a subject line that made it clear what he was where it was coming from. So, and I have a little bit of experience with tablet PCs. Not a whole lot, but a little bit. I've actually been kind of shopping around lately, to be honest. The prices of these things are dropping quite a bit now. So I'm really hoping to get like one of those hybrid laptops slash, what do you call these things again? tablet PC slash, because the thing is, the hybrid PCs usually are just geared towards the, you know, the handwriting recognition and the right, you know, the touch screen and all that kind of stuff. And they don't usually come with things like CD burners and disk drives and built-in Wi-Fi, et cetera, et cetera. But the newer generations do. So now they've got these kind of hybrids that have all of that stuff that you would want or use in a laptop, and you can treat it as such. But then if you want to, you can spin that thing around and write on it with handwriting analysis. So I've actually been looking at those myself. So anyway, the file that he sent was a GIF file. And, you know, he's saying, you know, he's not sure it's neat and all, but are people going to ignore the attachments, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I'm pretty sure that there's most of these come with OCR software, optical character recognition, that will take that handwriting that you put into it. Instead of saving it as a GIF, turn it into some type of text file, plain text, maybe that Microsoft OneNote, I think is what... No, is that what it's called?
The thing, I don't know, dude.
I don't know. The thing that comes with the tablet PCs, I think it's OneNote that lets you write with handwriting, and then I think it'll let you convert it. If not to plain text, I'm sure it'll probably convert it to like a Word document or something like that, where you could cut and paste it to wherever you wanted. But get that going, and I think you'll be fine. Once you get that going, you'll be good to go because you'll be sending plain text messages, plain emails, yada, yada, yada. So just tinker around with it, and I think you'll find that's probably the best way to go because you're sending this GIF file that, yeah, it is kind of neat and all, but they can be bulky. They can be kind of big files if you're going to write long, you know, big things. But sometimes you might want it if you got like a diagram or something. It can't really, OCR is not going to help you with that too much, I don't think.
So now this email, did it actually come out like a handwritten GIF?
Yeah.
Like it's not text or anything?
Yeah, I basically have a handwriting analysis of this guy now. So if we ever need that for whatever purposes, I can do a handwriting. And I, you know, this would be a funny, this is something funny we should do. We should print this out and go to one of those, you ever see those things? They have these out in California. They have these out there where you go to the mall and you give them a handwriting sample, and they put it in this big fake computer with, like, looks like a fucking UNIVAC with buttons and lights and shit lighting up, and it comes out with, like, your fortune and lucky numbers and a handwriting analysis and stuff. You never seen those before?
No.
Oh, man, you're missing out. And it's, like, obviously it's all fake. There's probably, like, some... It's like a little group of, like, underage migrant workers back there that just grab something out of the shelf and hand it to the guy like there's something coming out of it. It's totally fake.
Oh, man.
It's all a gimmick, and they charge you, like, $5 for it or something. Actually, I haven't seen one in quite a while, but we got to start some of those back up, man. That's money. People buy anything.
Yeah, but, I don't know. I mean, that does seem kind of cool. I mean, I don't know. I find that, like, chicks like seeing handwritten letters, so they can fear now.
You're going to write a handwritten letter, but then still email it as an attachment. That's very romantic.
I thought so. High-tech romance, man.
Well, you could draw naughty pictures on it and mail them.
Anyways.
All right. Well, let me see here. I'll go ahead and read email number two here. Email, you know, should I do a voice for this one, too? I'm in a funny voices mood, even though I suck, even though I can't do funny voices. Any voice I try to do ends up being a funny voice.
Well, I thought I was going to read this one anyways.
All right, you can. You go ahead and read it. You do. I was going to do my Sling Blade voice, but okay, you read it. I don't care.
I'm not going to do any voices, but I'll read it.
All right, fine. Just read it then. You know, fun having.
All right, this one comes from Mike Howe. He says, well, the other day on the 1st of February, I was called of the fields by my wife. Of the field or in the field? I don't know.
Called off the field?
Oh, maybe that's what it is. Okay. I don't know. You got of here. I don't know if you copied and pasted this or not.
Yeah, I cut and pasted the email, so that's how it came.
All right. By my wife, who said that my daughter had cut her wrists because it was the first of the month. I thought it was a joke, but I went home anyway, and it was all true. Well, I read the letter she left us on the computer using that Microsoft thing, and she said that BINREV was under investigation, and it was because of her. Well, she said that she was a hacker. Well, I was shocked about this, and I looked up this BINREV thing on Googler. Or whatever it's called. I found you. When I get this lawsuit going, you will be up your arse in shit so high you will not be able to move. My daughter died in the hospital. Dude, this guy has no grammar, dude.
Have you noticed there's not a single bit of punctuation? This is one continuous sentence?
Yes. Not able to move. My daughter died in hospital on the 3rd. See you in court, you Yankee bastard.
Okay, hold on. First of all, Yankee bastard, these nuts. I'm a redneck. I'm from the dirty South. I ain't no Yankee bastard, first of all.
Second of all, Yankee was spelled wrong.
Oh, yeah, it is, isn't it? At least he's saying I'm a Yankee, you know, a Yanker bastard. I don't know. Anyway, that's because he spelled right.
I didn't know the first of every month was a prank, like, I don't know, maybe April Fool's.
Yeah, I assume that's what this was, somebody making a joke about us doing our April Fool's Day thing, but they screwed up in the first line. It says the first day of February. They spelled February completely wrong, but the first day of February, so I'm sure glad it didn't happen on April the 1st, you know, good for us. Good luck with that lawsuit there. Even good luck with it anyway, quite honestly. If your nut job daughter cut her wrists over, you know, anyway, I'm not going off onto that whole tangent. Like, I'm somehow responsible. Anyway, whatever. Let's see. You know, actually, though, this is kind of a good opening because I did get a few emails. Most people thought it was funny. I had people wondering, you know, nobody really, really bought it. Well, that's a lie. A few people did. A few people bought it hook, line, and sinker, but most people were just, like, wondering. And that's all I really wanted. You know, get them wondering, you know, this is an April Fool's Day, right? Right. Next day, everything was fine. But I did get a few emails from people. Some of them were actually pretty long emails, and I'm not going to bother to read them. It's, you know what? Most people found it fun, that it's harmless, little April Fool's Day tradition. Somebody mentioned that it was alluded to that it was bad taste on my part or poor timing that with the Pope dying very close to that time and stuff like that. But come on, I mean, it's April Fool's Day every year. It's a tradition, and come on, people, lighten up a little bit.
We definitely had our own April Fool's stuff going on that day too.
yours is.
Me and Doug were playing April Fool's on each other, and same with me and my girlfriend at the time, but I had a...
At the time.
Yeah, and then, well, anyways, we'll leave that part out, but...
Now you've got our...
And then Doug had called me up, and I thought he was playing that April Fool's joke, and just like I said on a previous episode when he's talking about, yeah, Netspin wants your social now, and I'm like, all right, Doug, enough with the April Fool's, you know. Then it was real.
Yeah, see, it's terrible. Never announce anything on April Fool's Day. That's the moral of the story. But no, a few people, like, were a little bit upset. Well, not a few, only really one or two that I can think of, that the forums were down for a day. I mean, geez, people, go outside. Go enjoy the sunshine. Go get some fresh air. Turn the show off right now. It won't hurt my feelings. Stop the show. Hit disconnect. You don't have to listen to it live. Download it at your convenience. Go outside. Take a walk. Go spend time with your family. Go play in the park. Go whatever it is you would do. Go outside once in a while.
You know what the irony of this would be, though, Stank, if you're suggesting this to people and... People have already disconnected and they're not listening to us anymore.
Right.
And then they come back like a day later, download the show, and it says file corrupt.
We should stop it right now just to mess with them and go outside ourselves. As a matter of fact, that's it. We're going to end the show right now. That'll be our April Fool's prank next year. We'll end the show after saying something like that. Now, anyway, yeah, people are like, somebody said that, and I won't mention any names, somebody said that they wanted to search something on the forums, and they were upset because I had the forums down that day, and it's like, you know what, you cannot be that dependent on the forums. Yeah, I took them down for a joke. If you think it was poor taste or not funny or whatever, you know what, get over it. It's, you know, I'm going to run the site and have some fun once in a while, and it's just all there is to it, you know? It's like... If it makes you feel any better, pretend that the site went down. Pretend we got DOSed. Pretend my service provider was having problems. Pretend the hosting company was having problems. Pretend the connection was down. Whatever. I mean, it's going to happen sometimes. And if not having the site available one day is that critical to you, that you're going to get so upset or so bothered that you're going to email me or IM me or whatever, you really are just, you're hooked. You're really addicted. You are addicted, seriously.
And you know what? I'll go ahead and right out admit it. I am addicted to those forums.
No, trust me, you're so not as bad as other people.
Well,
you're addicted to
maybe,
the off topic.
Maybe not, but I am. And you know what? If you really are that addicted and you need a fiend on the forums for one day.
Yeah.
Whoa, did my connection cut out there?
Yeah, you just started breaking up really bad.
Okay, well, anyways, if you really are that addicted and you really are, like, fiending for that one day that we're down, dude, use Google. I mean, we got cached. We got cached, right?
Yeah, we have. I've opened up the forums even, so that even the forums get picked up by Google and by, I think Archive should have most of that stuff, too. Of course, not as frequently or whatever, and you're not going to get recent posts, but, you know, I've opened it all up. You can get everything from there. And if there's something, you know, the other thing is, like, that's a good thing about Doc Droppers is any articles or information or anything like that, we can cut and paste it to Doc Droppers in case something does ever happen to the forums, or it's a little bit easier to find it over there instead of mixed in with all the other off-topic stuff and, you know, how threads tend to deviate from the main topic and turn into something else.
Yes, they do.
So, anyway, you know what? It's a joke. I'm not answering any more email about it. You know, get on with life. That's all I have to say about it. And wait a minute. Let me back up. I'm sure this Mike Howell guy was joking. It's obvious that this was written as a joke. So I'm not singling him out, and I'm not singling anybody out. But you know what? Get over it. All right. How about you read the next one?
This next one from Wiccan 2. I would love you to do a BinRev certified hacking exam. By the way, love the show. Keep up the good work. About episode 89, I am a DR guy.
What? A what guy?
That's default radio, I guess.
No, reread that. You left the word off. Your printer didn't print a word, probably. I am a Dr. Pepper guy, he says.
Oh.
He's referring to our little soft drink discussion. Hacker soft drinks or whatever. I don't know how we got into that tangent again, and I hate going back to it over and over. But Dr. Pepper is the shiznit, for real. Dr. Pepper is the bomb diggy.
You know, there's certain times you're supposed to drink Dr. Pepper, too. I forget what they are, but...
Certain times?
Yeah, there's like 3 different hours in the day, like during your lunch break or your work break, that you're supposed to be drinking Dr. Pepper.
Says
who? You can research it. It's pretty lean.
Says who?
Dr. Pepper, man. There's
there's a real doctor.
There's like Miller time, there's Dr. Pepper time, dude.
Oh, okay, if you say so.
Oh, by the way, Dr. Pepper 7-Up, DPSU, is like one company. And, like, you'll notice that, like, Dr. Pepper is sold where Coke products are, and it's also sold where Pepsi products are. Because, like, Dr. Pepper's the independent one.
Well...
And then everyone thinks it's Coke because it's usually only where Coke is, but you'll see it a lot of times with Pepsi, too. So.
Yeah, actually, over here on this side of the United States, it's the opposite. It's usually carried with the Pepsi products. But it's like you said, they are their own separate kind of company. Years ago, they actually... They're one of those ones, I think they were bought and sold back and forth, like the formula or the recipe or the rights to it. And, like, Coke had it for a little while, and Coke bottlers carried it, and you saw it with Coke products. Then you started seeing it with the Pepsi products. And anytime Pepsi goes on sale, all Pepsi products, Dr. Pepper would be included. And sometimes it was Coke products. Now, I think they've kind of pulled back because they know that it's elite. And I think they pretty much handle their own stuff, and they just pay the Coke and Pepsi distributors and bottlers, maybe, to deliver it out there. So sometimes you will find a Dr. Pepper and 7-Up. Sale only.
Yep.
So yeah, it's different everywhere. I've noticed that. I've always heard that because I have friends in other states that tell me that it's definitely a Coke product, and other people tell me it's definitely a Pepsi, and I'm like, no, I think it's a little bit more complex than that. Believe it or not.
Yeah, I think I believe the website is dpsu.com. www.dpsu.com, and you can see that they're their own separate entity. And they have contracts with Coke and Pepsi.
Anyway, that's not tech related, but hey, there's some information for you.
And then go watch Blast from the Past and drink your Dr. Pepper hot.
Oh, no. Hot Dr. Pepper? No.
That's a little running joke from Blast from the Past. You got to go watch that movie.
Is that the one that was like black and white and mixed in color, like in certain parts?
Never mind.
We're not talking about it. Anyway, back to this email about the exam and the certification. That's way, 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 way too much work. There's no way that's going to happen. I would like for it to. It'd be cool. Like I said, I'd feel like it had some more credibility if it was from someone who was closer to the hacking scene than these security companies. I was actually talking to Voodoo Hal earlier about this exact subject. All these security companies and security professionals, and unless they're hackers that have turned into security professionals, a lot of them are just memorizing textbook definitions and things like that, and it's like, it's such a joke. Anything new that's appeared since they read the textbook or anything that's changed or whatever, they don't know. They can't adapt. They memorize. These are memorized people, and it's just, the security industry is getting full of them now because, well, I don't know if it's because there's not enough hackers to go around or if hackers
Oh, there definitely is. It's just,
they're scared to hire us.
Yeah.
I think, really.
Yeah, it seems every time I get hired, I just get fired, like, right away.
Well, that may be for another reason.
Possibly.
I don't see that happening anytime soon. I mean, you know, it's I'm having enough trouble getting our regular other projects done, like the magazine and stuff like that. I can't get this stuff done in a reasonable time frame, so I'm not going to take on anything new right now. We've got a few projects that are ongoing right now that we'll be announcing. Actually, maybe as soon as next week we'll be announcing another one, and I won't go any further than that, but once I start getting some of these projects completed, I'm not going to take in any new projects probably for a couple months when I can start focusing on them. I've got too many that are open and in progress, and I got to cut down the sheer number of them. So, it's possible, but don't hold your breath, quite frankly. All right, our next email comes from Slicko, or Slick Zero. Slicko says, and he goes by both, that's why I say that. Slicko says, newsflash, there's crime on the internet. Yeah, I think we covered that last week. In other news, Microsoft is a monopoly. Apollo 11 landed on the moon. The sky is blue. Great rant. Love the show. How you managed to have such an amazing sounding show with such a simple setup. Yeah, that sounds real amazing, me stuttering over. He purposely set up a bunch of alliteration here to make me stumble. Thanks, Slicko. You set me up. Narc. No, let me see. Where was it?
Yeah, you and Teflon.
You and Teflon. I've got Lucky225 addicted to Welcome to the Scene now, by the way. Let me see. All right, let me back up. Hold on. Where's how you managed to have such an amazing sounding show with such a simple setup? Look at all those S's.
Oh,
that's
my God.
So
look at all those letter alliteration S's.
He was so purposely. You know what? All I got to say to you, Slicko, OmniScan. All right. Perhaps it's the new and interesting content for each show. Whatever it is, keep it up. All right. First of all, if you don't already know, you've got to check out Slicko and the rest of the BaseNet crew. They're actually on Tuesday evenings, 8:30 to 9:30 Eastern Standard Time. They're on just before us, right before this very show. If you're tuning in and listening to us at 9:30, tune in an hour earlier and listen to BaseNet Radio. Great show, Slick Zero and a bunch of guys having fun about technology, covering a bunch of cool topics, and really, really a great lead-in for our show. I mean, we're lucky to follow them, frankly.
Yeah,
Tuesday
break out
night.
Your time machine. Screw this show.
Yeah, back up, and we should just go back and replay their show for them on Tuesday nights. And actually, speaking of sound quality, they do have good sound quality. He actually does really, really a good job at, he's got like sound effects and like something you hear on a real radio station, you know, he's got funny sound effects and music mixed in and it all sounds very clean and clear. I've said before many times, I like this sounding kind of rough. I want people to know it's coming out of our house. It's coming out from me sitting here on a speakerphone with Lucky225, the Double Deuce. You know what? We're just hacking, man. I don't care that it's got crystal clear quality as long as the point gets out there. You know? Yeah, and it's and this is like a programming mantra, if you will, and that is keep it simple. Always heard that KISS, keep it simple. I get email from people and people who have other shows suggesting to me that I should make the sound quality better. I just don't care. I don't. I mean, I don't mean to say that to be a dick. I don't care. As long as, my whole point is, I've always said from day one, I believe that content is king. I try to make the show fun, entertaining, informative, hopefully make you think about some things, go do some research, go look stuff up on your own after it's over with. That's the most important thing, period. And yes, it has to be listenable quality-wise. You have to be able to understand what we're saying, and I think we definitely can do that. I don't think, other than maybe my accent or something, but... and Lucky, when he gets into that high alto soprano, whatever section of his voice.
Dude, what are you talking about? You calling me a soprano now?
Soprano? Are you a soprano? Didn't you tell me you were a soprano?
Not.
You told me you were a soprano before, like whacking people in New York, except you're on the West Coast?
No.
No? Okay.
I never said that either.
You did so.
No, don't quote me, boy.
I think you even said that on the show one time. I'm going to go back and find that sound clip somewhere. Anyway, yeah, the sound quality, if I increase the sound quality, that doesn't change the content at all. So, yeah, one day, if I get some free time, I'll work out something better. I'll come up with a better sounding system and everything. But first and foremost, I want the quality and the content of the show to be the most important thing. And if I can upgrade the sound quality in the meantime, or as I do it, then that's a great bonus. But first and foremost, I try to make content number one. So hopefully we do that. Some shows are better than others, I admit that, but you know, what are you going to do? So anyway, Tuesday nights, listen to BassNet Radio, and then listen to Binary Revolution Radio. Then go outside and get some fresh air, go for a walk. Tuesday nights, all your basser belong to DDP Hack Radio. And BassNet Radio. All your BassNetter belong to DDP Hack Radio. Oh, well. Anyway, I'll quit on that. None of those were even remotely funny, but what am I going to do? You want to take an email? Is it my turn? You do one.
Hey, I'll do this one. From Default Savior. I'm not sure if that's a real handle or not.
I believe... Well, and if you notice something else interesting, and maybe this is just the... social engineer in me, or the whatever. Notice it's spelled with the I-O-U-R. That's not a traditional American spelling of the word savior. Generally speaking, so I would... Maybe this person's from outside. I don't even know without looking at his email. But anyway, which of course doesn't necessarily mean anything, but whatever.
Okay, and he writes in and says, is there a donation button anywhere... Well, that was spelled wrong, too. Anywhere that I can donate to for him. I don't even care what he did, but the dude was cool.
All right, wait a minute. That's my mistake. I think I cut off the word decoder there somewhere. He's asking about a donate button for decoder.
Yeah, it just says him, but I'm assuming that means... I was going to assume that meant decoder.
Yeah.
I don't even know what he did, but that dude was cool. Anyways, you guys do a great job, DDP and the old Default crew. Thanks a lot, guys. Not one for long emails. Don't care if you read this one on the air. Well,
right.
Obviously we did.
Yep.
No, we do not have a donate button on the site. I'm not sure if Doug is going to implement that or not.
Yeah, and probably, you know, we mentioned this on the show, I think it was last week, as a matter of fact, didn't we? We were talking about decoder situation.
Yes, we were.
We appreciate that people want to support, you know, financial or moral support. Writing letters is probably the best thing right now. But as I mentioned, right now he's in the system. And, you know, I have made some calls and found out. The long and short of it is, here's the summary. To get a private defense attorney who actually has experience in this type of case, who has technical expertise, quite bluntly is going to cost several hundred thousand dollars. It's that simple. That's without going into details of the case, and I'm still not going to do that, talking several hundred thousand dollars. And realistically, a donate button is really not going to put a dent in that. So while we appreciate the offer, I think it's kind of silly to even start with that right now especially since we don't know where this is going to go or what's happening. Dakota's got a public defender. However capable that public defender is, which, again, we're not going to go into, but there have been issues. But just got to go through this process, which, unfortunately, is very, very slow. If and when, well, if, I should say, it gets to the point where we actually need financial help, we'll, I'm sure, like Lucky was saying, Doug will put something up. I think they have some plans, and we've got some people that are all have plans to try to help out as much as we can. So we're working together, getting organized, if that time does come. But for right now...
Yes, that is correct. And in fact, if you want, you can donate money to me, and I will buy a bunny, and I will eat him if we do not receive the money.
What? Shut up.
Oh, never mind.
That was like a chocolate bunny for Easter, or is that you?
Did you not see that SaveToby.com?
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
Oh, God, I'm just playing. Come on.
Although I would pay money to see you eat a bunny.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it'll work both ways.
Yeah, right?
If we don't receive a certain amount, I'll eat the bunny, but only if we receive more money.
What if we got people to donate money, and you had to eat as many bunnies as we could buy with the money? That would so people would want to make you keep eating bunnies. They'd keep sending money, and you'd have to promise to eat as many of them as we continually buy. Could you live off of bunny?
I don't know, dude.
Do you have bunny leftovers and like bunny sandwiches and stuff at work? Oh, man, this is a bizarre show again this week. Anyway, you know, and see, the whole thing about Decoder is what he's allegedly done. He shouldn't even be in jail. He shouldn't be kept in there all this long. And this just, it's so hard for me to keep my mouth shut and not talk about it as much as I want to, but they're trying to keep him in there for so long. First of all, if he did what they alleged he did, he shouldn't have been in there for very long, if at all. So this is one of those things where the government wants to try to set an example out of someone, but they don't even realize the example that they're setting. That's the, I don't know if it's irony or stupidity or... It's disgusting is what it is. They're trying to look all impressive, like they are trying to do the right thing, and they're looking out for our well-being and busting the terrible evil hackers, and... They don't. They look like a bunch of Nazis that think they can run the government the way they want to and make up rules and crack down on these things.
The irony of it is, too, is this is just what Decoder always says.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
We don't have freedom. The only freedom we have is we're free to do what the government wants us to do
yeah.
Any way we'd like to.
Yeah, we do what they let us do. So, but see, the other message is they're going to keep doing these kind of things. You know, you had Kevin Mitnick, and I'm sorry, Decoder, you're going to get, this whole thing is going to get compared to the whole Mitnick case. They're keeping him in there, and then it's going to be like, okay, well, when it's all said and done, you know, you're right. I mean, it was minor what they're accusing him of doing. He shouldn't have been in there for very long, if at all. And by the time it's all over with, it's going to be like, oh, well, have a nice day. Sorry, we screwed up your life. You know, it's ridiculous.
Obviously, the punishment does not fit the crime at this moment. They're keeping him in jail instead of letting him out on bail or on his own recognizance. They're keeping
which is why we're not going to go too much. We're going to stop here because we don't want to jeopardize that chance of him still being eligible and getting bail. So we're going to hold off there. But my only point, I do want to say this, is... They're making some assumptions, not assumptions, but the government doesn't realize that they think they're setting an example and showing us what not to do. Well, yeah, they are. You're showing us what the government's not supposed to do. People are seeing this, and those of us out here, we're intelligent people. We know right from wrong, and what they're doing is wrong. And if they keep doing stuff like this, the government, and I, of course, this is United States government, other countries may not know or care about this, but they're going to keep abusing their power until they get to the point where they lose all of their effectiveness because people are going to eventually disregard the American government. Laws don't mean anything to those who do not respect them. You do not have any authority if I don't recognize your authority. And if you keep abusing this power, people are going to get to the point where they're like, you know what, screw it. This is ridiculous. I mean, how many people speed all the time? Maybe this is a good segue to go into our main topic later, but...
Yeah, but, well, I mean, and my whole point of bringing up the point that they're not letting him be out on bail, my whole point of that is he's being punished, and he's supposed to be presumed innocent until proven guilty. He's being punished while he's quote-unquote innocent.
It's a shame. It's just a crying shame what our government has come to. And not just in this case. I've gone on many government rants in general. I'll probably be the next one sitting next to Decoder if I keep running my mouth, so we'll stop here, I guess. And also, just for your other comment about not one for long emails, well, you know what? Short emails, get straight to the point. That's the stuff we're most likely to read on the air anyway. You send me these long books and stuff, I'll eventually get around to reading them, but I don't always have time to read a lot of long stuff, and even if I do, I'll cut and paste a small portion of your email out. So just short emails, get to the point. You're most likely to be read on the air anyway. Okay, let's see. Did you read that one? You read that one? Okay, so it's my turn. Let me read this. This email is from Doomlaser. Doomlaser, what?
Not that. It just sort of reminds me of that movie Hackers.
How so?
Dr. Doom. Ultralaser.
So it's a combination Doomlaser? It's like Laser Demon, Lizard Man, what we had before. Not to be confused with Doomlaser, I don't think. Anyway, Doomlaser says, thanks for waking me up at 4 in the morning, 3 hours before work, with your rant about crime on the internet. I fell asleep listening to MP3s of the Three's Company theme song and wearing my Crest whitening strips when I was rudely awoken. Is that a word, awoken? Awaken? Rudely?
I'm not sure how it goes.
Awakened, I think is what that's. I was rudely awoken, or whatever, by your rant in episode 91. Try to keep the yelling down in the future, because some of us are trying to listen to your show subconsciously while we sleep. Also, isn't it possible for me to use... Wait, first of all, that's so coincidental, that's so funny, that you're listening to the show subconsciously while you sleep, because we record the show subconsciously while we're asleep. That is so weird that you say that, because half the time... I don't even know what my rant or what I said until the next night when I listen to the stream. I don't know what I'm saying right now, quite frankly. This is completely subconscious.
And usually I'm just asleep listening to Stank rant, and then when it ends, I'm like, whoa, should I say something now?
Yeah, it's pretend like you were paying attention. That's why I make him read emails with me now, ladies and gentlemen, to keep him awake during the show.
That's right.
Okay, anyway, what else? Oh, also... Isn't it possible for me to use a change of address form to reroute all of the mail sent to Lucky 225's P.O. box and intercept all of Decoder's mail? Nevertheless, keep making the show. So, okay. Lucky, how about that, man? That sounds like a pretty cool idea.
Before I address that, listening to Three's Company to go to sleep with your Crest whitening strips.
Come and knock on our door.
This guy just sounds strange to me all in himself.
Oh, I'm sure he was joking.
How is he going to accuse us of waking himself up when he's the one who had the MP3 file on his list?
Isn't that a weird thing to have me queued up with Three's Company?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm sure he was joking. But how about this idea of the change of address card? That sounds good to me. What do you think?
No, there's no way that could possibly happen because...
All right, now, wait a minute. No way that could possibly happen. You're getting kind of extreme there.
Oh, God, okay. Maybe with some social engineering something.
All right.
But I've done several change of addresses, and the problem with his little change of address theory is they send me a notification in my P.O. box telling me my mail's going to be forwarded. So I would know if he tried to do that, and the first thing I would do is go up to the postmaster and say, I did not file for a change of address. This is not correct.
Well, he could do it just to annoy you and turn one in every single day so that you have to keep going back and canceling them all. kind of a denial of service on your P.O. box.
Well, see, now the problem with that is GWASDI is a really small post office. And once they received all these requests, they would just automatically deny them because they would know somebody's trying to mess with me.
Yeah, and they probably would. There's got to be a way to trace where the change of address form came from somehow, like a routing number or something, and they'd find.
Well, it would show right in the return address. It comes from a main processing center in whatever county or whatever.
How long is the delay?
Every time it came from that processing center, they'd just be like, yeah, okay, you know?
How long is the delay when you do a change of address and they send you that notification before it actually takes effect?
About a week to 2 weeks.
Okay, how often do you check your P.O. box?
At least, like, once every other day.
Oh, okay. Well, then, yeah, then that's never.
Yeah, I get mail there quite frequently.
It might work on some people though who don't check it frequently.
Very true.
I guess.
Very true.
All right.
But anyways, yes, that would not happen. And furthermore, if you're worried about somebody doing this, you could always send your mail to General Delivery.
Oh, not the General Delivery again.
And I could just go pick it up in person, showing ID.
Nobody does that.
Yeah, I know. But actually, I was thinking about changing my address on my driver license to that.
To General Delivery?
Yeah, well, they print your... here in California, they print your mailing address on the license. It's supposed to be like, you know, because, you know, we got all these privacy laws and everything. They keep your physical address on file, but they actually print your mailing address. That way you can just have a P.O. box or whatever printed on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking about just getting General Delivery printed on it.
All right, whatever, man. Whatever works for you.
I don't know. I just thought it would be pretty funny.
Yeah, you have, like, so many weird licenses already.
Yeah, that's very true.
You have, like, a collection of weird licenses.
Yeah,
things.
I got that ID card from Texas that says 2600 Hertz Avenue.
Oh, and the war driver's license.
I don't got that anymore, actually.
What happened?
I lost it in a Freaknik.
Oh, you noob.
Yeah, I had two wallets, and I lost both my wallets. And me and Natus went back to the club, and they had my real wallet there, but I guess the fake one that had my war driver license in it. Yeah, I guess, I don't know if maybe the bouncer just thought it was a fake ID and threw the wallet away or what, but...
That would be the bar with the wet T-shirt contest, is that the one you...
Oh, yeah.
I almost forgot about that one. All right, how about you read the next email here?
Okay, you want me to read this one, or...
Yeah, this is your turn. El Topo.
El Topo. Hi, Stink Dog and co-host. I just wanted to say the crime on the internet rant from episode 91 was hilarious, but I guess that it would become old if you did it all the time.
Oh, yeah.
I'm from Sweden, so English is not my first language, but I still think you guys come across clear enough for me to understand most of what you say. I heard about your show in Radman's art show. Mm-hmm. There's an ARTS, I'm not sure.
The Art Scene Radio... Art Scene Radio Technology Show. Damn it, I don't remember what art stands for.
And I have been downloading a couple episodes, which I've enjoyed. Keep it up. Well, this guy seems pretty cool. I mean, his English is actually pretty good for someone that has it as a second language.
Yeah, better than a lot. Actually, it's interesting, the name El Topo sounds Spanish. It's the top.
Yeah.
But he's Sweden, so maybe he speaks three languages.
Anyway. Yeah, man.
Yeah, actually, Radman is a friend of the show, and he's got a pretty good show himself over there with the arts. The Art Scene... Wait a minute, let me think now. I feel terrible. The Art Scene Radio... something show. Technology show, is that right?
I don't know, man.
Go to Acid.
To it.
Okay, acid.org. ACID. I at least know Acid. ANSI Creators in Demand. Okay, give me some credit, Radman. Don't get mad at me now. I can't remember the T. And actually, I snail mailed him something recently, a newspaper clipping from here in Florida. that I thought he'd find interesting, and I haven't heard back from him in forever anyway, so I don't know if he even got it successfully or whatever, so I haven't heard from him in forever, so I don't even know if
maybe
he listens.
Maybe a change of address happened.
Yeah, right? And he got the, someone else got the, anyway. But yeah, thanks for listening to the show, of course, and we use a lot of slang and some technical terms like fear and new and some leet occasionally on the show just to have fun usually. But honestly, generally speaking, I think we're fairly well-spoken. We try to be a little bit, you know, I try to be articulate. I'm not a big grammar Nazi or anything, but I try to at least be clear when it comes to the technical points and try to make sure that you can understand what we're talking about. Yes, there's going to be some slang, but for the most part, you know, we're educated, we've been published a lot, I know how to write, I know how to construct sentences correctly, usually. It's just that
basically what you're telling me is you passed 8th grade English.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. Okay. That's all you got to be. Well, I don't know. What does 8th grade English cover these days? I don't know. It's school systems are kind of skewed, but... But anyway, we get by. We just have way too much vulgarity mixed in with it. That's the problem. The language is a little bit rough sometimes. And actually, thanks to our next emailer here, who always helps bring the show up to just a super ultra high level. Our last email this week comes from our good friend who emails us all the time, System Shocker. System Shocker says... Assholes are red. R-E-A-D. Read. Assholes are read. Your
yeah.
F. Very articulate, System Shocker. System Shocksore. That's what I'm going to call him from now on. System Shocksore. Your. Okay. Assholes are read. Your asshole is blue. If you're feeling the pain, it means I but fucked you. It's one T in butt. You see, I butt fucked you. Stank Doggy Sucks with 3 X's. Metallica Rules with 3 Z's.
And no E.
He capitalized Metallica, though, and capitalized Stank. See, he knows who his daddy is right there. This is System Shocks. He doesn't even spell his name right. System Shocks, apostrophe S. And you fucking lose with an 3 instead of an elitized lose there. P.S. You are fat. That means you are a lard ass. Try a liposuction. Hey, you spelled liposuction right. That's impressive. Man, you get the big words. All right. Well, System Shocksore, buddy, pal. I'm sorry to tell you that Metallica really does suck. But let me try to see if I can... make this poetic in response to you. Let's see here. How about Metallica sits on a pile of money, yet they still want more. They're pawns of the RIAA. They get richer while we stay poor. So thank you, System Shockser. You're still a giant tool. Your lyrics are worse than Metallica. You shouldn't have dropped out of high school, you fucking douchebag. I'm sorry, that last part didn't exactly rhyme, but I just kind of added that in for extra.
His last part didn't rhyme either.
Okay, yeah, good, there you go. Oh, God, I can't just... Metallica, they're nothing but puppets, that's all. They're not doing anything. They had, like, a good run there for a while. I'll admit I liked the music there for a little while. And then when they sold out and started whining and crying about how they weren't making enough money... I'm not even going back into my Metallica rant. They suck. Get over it. You've got to accept the fact that they sold out. That's it. That's all there is to it. Anyway, let's get out of the email here. Let's do some show and tell quickly. I just had my DEF CON meeting this past Saturday, as in Sunday, Monday, 4 days ago. And we had some cool presentations. I gave a presentation on Google AdWords, which I actually gave covered some of that material on the show maybe a month or so ago. I put together, and I had submitted an article to 2600 with a lot of detail in it, so I put together a presentation based on that as well, so it kind of fell in between. So It's like only 10 or 11 slides, but it actually ended up lasting about a half an hour or more, which surprised me. So that went over better than I had thought, at least from in my opinion. I didn't expect it to last more than 10 or 15 minutes. And Qubits gave a pretty cool presentation on lockpicking, and that was kind of cool, and showed some videos, and we had some new members and stuff like that. So it was all in all a pretty good meeting. And afterwards, on the way back, we stopped and had some Waffle House. So Waffle House is the shizzle. Waffle House pwned you. So that's it for me. What have you got going on?
I don't know, dude. I've just been going to clubs lately and getting drunk off my ass.
Oh, that's exactly what this section of the show is for. We want to encourage people to do something productive, and you come up with a story about drinking and going to clubs. Way to go.
Well, yes. I mean, this is my show and tell, right? That's what I've been doing.
If that's what you're doing, that's what you're doing, I guess. You don't have any articles? You working on any articles or anything like that? You had another article in the current issue of Vaughn Magazine. I saw that. I meant to say that to you. Yes. Wait a minute. Do I have it right here? Let me see if I have it handy. Crap. I don't have it.
Now I'm going to go into my rant again about how come everyone gets Vaughn Magazine in their mailbox except for me when I'm writing for them.
Yeah, but that does suck. But, I mean, I get a bunch of trade magazines, so I get, like, all of them. But, yeah, you should get one, too. I mean, you wrote it.
I'll write for them, dude.
Yeah, right? And they put the little picture of a mask because they don't have a picture of you.
Yeah.
I don't have that handy, unfortunately, to refresh the topic.
It was my telephony etiquette one where I went on my caller ID rant.
I think you're right. I think that is correct. I know there's one other thing that you've been working on lately. And I think we alluded to it earlier. It involves a car going faster than it should be the posted limit. Mr. Deuce Deuce 5, did you get another speeding ticket?
Yes, I did.
Oh, man. All right, look. Let's make this our main topic tonight because you have had more experience with
the law.
Yeah, the law in general, and particularly speeding and running stop signs and other moving violations. Why don't you? You know what? There are a lot of myths and a lot of things going out there about how this stuff works. Why don't you explain how the system works and some of the loopholes and some of the things that you do to try to get some of these tickets waived or whatever?
Yeah, I think we actually did talk on this on a prior show, but maybe I'll be a little more extensive in this show.
Yeah, I don't think we went into any detail ever. I think we just kind of joked about you having to go, but how is all right? So you get a speeding ticket. You got a moving violation. They pull you over. They say you were going X miles an hour in an X mile zone, and they give you a ticket. And does the story start there? I mean, you start looking for loopholes on the ticket, like they spelled your. We'll go through some myths. And either maybe we'll correct them and announce them, or we'll debunk them. Myth number one, they spell your name wrong.
Yeah, that actually, you can get away with that if they spelled your name wrong, because the ticket was not issued to you.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that for a second. You're going to go into a judge. Everything else on the ticket matches your car, your driver's license, everything. They just spelled your name wrong. Lucky 226 instead of Lucky 225. You're telling me that the judge is going to say, well, it's a different person. I got to throw it out.
It can be dismissed. I mean, the judge can say no, or they can try and amend the citation,
right,
and have your name spelled correctly.
Right. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It seems like there's got to be a loophole in the system that allows them to fix themselves, like something that says, we reserve the right to correct spelling mistake. You know, it seems like they've got something to cover them in there. They have to.
Yeah, well, actually, and that kind of brings up my current ticket, because the speeding ticket was issued to me on February 19th, 2005.
Okay.
And the date on the citation is February 20th, 2005.
So?
And, the first thing I did was I called every public notary I could. As soon as I got off work, I called every public notary I could in the Yellow Pages and found one close to Chino Hills that was willing to meet me in Chino Hills and notarize a document so that I could prove that I received the ticket on the 19th and not the 20th.
So he wrote the date wrong accidentally or intentionally?
Accidentally.
Okay, so he didn't know.
He didn't know. He put the 20th. Now, here's the thing, though. I mean, it does... luckily for me, it happened on a weekend, because they have, like, day of the month also, mm-hmm. where it shows SMTW, you know, all the letter abbreviations for the day.
Right.
And, of course, he circled S for, I don't remember if that was a Saturday or Sunday. Oh, it must have been a Saturday, mm-hmm. because the 20th was a Sunday, right?
Right. Sunday's usually notated by N in computer terms, N for Sunday.
Well, on this particular citation, both Saturday and Sunday are an S. The only difference is which place it's in.
Right. Hmm.
Well, and of course, so he circled an S, but I could still disprove what day it was because he put the 20th, and S could be Saturday or Sunday, you know?
Hmm. How much did it cost? How much did it cost for the notary?
It costs, well, first of all, a notary usually cost about $10 or $15. But because it was so late and it was like, you know, this girl basically wasn't working on the clock. She agreed to meet me at Denny's, actually, of all places, you know, and because it was such a rush, I think I had to pay like $30 or $35.
Woo! How much was the ticket for?
$191.
Yikes.
Yeah.
I hope that works out for you.
Well, that's what I was saying, too, because the next week, I received an amended citation.
Oh, no.
Which said, a citation was issued to you on such and such date. The following needs to be corrected. Date and time of violation. Well, here's the thing, though.
That's so
in
wrong.
The amended citation where it says, the citation issued to you on... Instead of putting February 19th, they put the citation issued to you on February 20th needs the date and time of the violation to be corrected to February 19th. Well, the citation wasn't issued to me on February 20th.
Oh,
it was issued to me on the 19th,
wow.
The same day of the violation.
Are you going to look a judge straight in the eye and try to honestly play that?
Well, actually... that brings me to my next topic on how I'm going to actually fight this.
Okay.
I'm going to do it, first of all, by trial by declaration, where all of this is going to be done through the mail.
Uh-huh.
So, and I'm basically going to ask that this ticket be dismissed in the interest of justice because the date is wrong and
in
I have a notarized document showing when I received it. And everything else. I'm also going to be asked that this be dismissed in the interest of justice because the officer used a device called LIDAR, which is basically laser instead of radar. You know, it's supposed to be more accurate and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, he used his LIDAR device from his car and shot it through his window. I mean, I don't know about you, but I think the properties of light, when they pass through a clear surface, such as a window, doesn't it get abstracted a little bit or something?
But don't you think that's designed to shoot through a window? I don't know anything about them.
Whether or not it's designed to shoot through a window, you haven't let me get through my whole point here.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, first of all, radar is admissible in court because it's on what's known as the state's judicial review. Which means in some speeding case in California, somebody brought up the point that, you know what, radar is not on judicial review here in California. I want an expert witness to come and testify to the validity of radar evidence, that it can actually be used to determine the speed of a vehicle. And so they actually had to fly out, you know, some guy from the manufacturing company of that particular radar gun. And so the whole theory of radar is on judicial review with the state of California. However, LIDAR is not on judicial review. So if the prosecution wants to prove that that their evidence holds any weight, they're going to have to fly out an expert witness to testify that.
So this is where you're taking advantage, actually, of the innocent till proven guilty. They have to prove that LIDAR works.
Exactly.
So
they
put
have to
the
prove
bird,
that
they...
the scientific theory of LIDAR properties works. And not only that, even if they do fly out someone who's supposedly an expert witness, a lot of the times you can get these expert witnesses disqualified because they have a financial approach, you know, that the people that are manufacturing it are there to make money. So they'll make these claims just so they can continue to make money.
Well, that's an interesting theory there. I'd like to hear how that would actually work out.
Yep.
Are there any cases where that actually worked and the ticket was thrown out using that exact defense?
I don't know. You'd have to Google that stuff.
All right.
I know with the radar stuff, radar wasn't on judicial review, and I think they got a couple of those cases throughout until it actually became on judicial review.
Hmm. Radar
is now on judicial review in all of the 50 states and the District of Columbia, I believe.
All right, well, let's go back to the beginning of the story here. Let's go back to, so if the person makes a mistake on it of any kind, whether it's misspelling your name, putting the wrong date or time on there,
the wrong date of birth, the wrong physical description.
So you're telling me...
A lot of that stuff you can usually get the ticket thrown out for. The wrong address. Even if they got your right name and date of birth, if it's a different address, you can be like, well, that's obviously the person that lives at this address, not me.
Right, and you recommend... even if everything else matches, like I said, the license plate number, the car, the description of the car, the color of the car...
Yeah, well...
the driver's license number...
Still the possibility that there's two people, and either you lent your car to that person, or you lent your car to a family member who lent your car to that other person, and then, you know.
All right, so you're saying, okay, so then you would recommend, is this a California-only thing, or can you do this in most states, trial by paper?
I think you could probably try to get the ticket dismissed in most states. If there's some sort of clerical error on the ticket.
No. What I was saying was without having to go face to face in court. The by mail, is that a California thing, or do most states allow you to do it by mail?
You know what? I'm not sure about that. I know for sure it's a California thing, but you'd have to check your state's regulations for that.
All right. So that's for typos, mistakes, date of birth, et cetera. All right. What about the other big myth is that. When you get the ticket, they assign you a court date, and everybody says that you should just show up to that, and if the officer doesn't show up, then it gets thrown out of court automatically. True or false?
Depends on the state. In California, by default, it does get thrown out.
If the officer doesn't show up. Now, how often does the officer not show up?
On the date that the ticket is set to, the officer will almost always show up.
Exactly. I was going to say that. Now, I've lived in several states, and I've gone with friends. I don't really have a lot of speeding tickets, to be quite honest. I think I've had one in my life. No, okay, two or three, actually. I lied. But anyway, every time I've ever gone, the officer always shows up. And what it is all the tickets that they hand out, they schedule them for the same day or same series of days. So the officer knows ahead of time, once a month, he's going to spend 2 or 3 days in court for all the tickets. So it's not like he's like having to show up out of his day and go out, you know, messes up his schedule and he has to work around it. He justifies and plans ahead and spends days there.
In fact, in most local governments, ordinances, the officer usually gets paid overtime to show up for these.
All right, well, what other kind of tricks do we have there? Doing it by mail, I like that idea. I like that. That definitely, if it's a clerical thing, it seems like that would be a better way to approach it because I just would feel so weird trying to sit there and flat-face tell a judge that it's not me, that it wasn't me that got the ticket when I know damn good and well it was.
Well, the other things to worry about is, first of all, when you first get pulled over, what you say and what you do can often be used against you in testimony. So, I mean, you have to play out everything first. I mean, when you first get pulled over, almost every time, I mean, at least for me in my experience, the first thing the officer does is he'll come up and you'll roll down your window and you'll ask for your license and registration. And then he'll either ask one or two questions. He'll ask, do you know why I pulled you over? Which if he does this, which is, I believe, the proper procedure, you just say no. I have no idea why, you know, because you don't want to admit any guilt. If he's saying that so that he can be like, yeah, because I was speeding, of course. And then right there, you're admitting that you were speeding.
Yeah, but isn't that hearsay in court?
No, it's not. It can actually be used against you. Because the officer can even record the conversation because it's a public
spot. Yeah, but they don't. So even if you do
out here some of them do.
Well, even if you do say, no, I don't know why you pulled me over, all he's got to do in court is say, yes, I asked him if he knew why I pulled him over, he said, yes, I was speeding. They can say what they want to say because the system's corrupt, like I said earlier.
Well, yes, obviously, but I mean, if you don't actually say it, and you know you don't have that on your conscience, you can. It's at least something better to do, you know. Don't flat out admit it because that's just you're admitting guilt before you've even went to court, you know.
Right.
And then another thing is, a lot of the times, instead of even saying, do you know why I pulled you over? Sometimes the first question will be, sir, you were going 56 in a 45. Why were you traveling so fast?
Well, that's entrapment.
That's entrapment, and that's why they do it like that, because they go, look, I clocked you, and they'll say, I clocked you at 56 in a 45. Why were you traveling so fast? And, of course, you're going to reply, well, blah, 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 because of this. And then right then and there, they got more evidence that you were speeding.
What if you reply with something bizarre or something? Will that get you out? What is there anything you can say, social engineering wise or something, to get you out of it? Why were you speeding so fast? Well, officer, I just came all over myself. Is there anything you can say to make him leave and not want to deal with you?
I just shit myself and I wanted to go home. With the safer answer, and I say, I don't believe I was traveling that fast. I was looking at my speedometer the whole time, and I was going about 45.
Can you okay, here's a question, and I don't know if you know the answer, but can you demand to see the radar gun? Can you say, I want to see you clocked me, I want to see the gun?
You know what? That's a very good question. I've never asked to see a radar, a LIDAR device, or anything like that. They usually write it down on the ticket what the serial number was and everything like that.
See, I don't think that would be...
I've never actually demanded to see it upon being pulled over.
It's probably a very bad idea. I mean, there's always still a small chance, very, very small, that you can talk your way out of it or they might let you off with a warning. If you start doing that and demanding to see things and being an ass, you're not going to get off with a warning, so... I wouldn't play that card.
You know what? That's true. You might want to try and get out of the ticket in the first place.
Right.
But for me, when I get pulled over, I know they run my record, and I have just got so many tickets that it doesn't matter what I say, I'm getting that ticket. So I might actually try that. I might actually ask to see the radar gun.
Or wait until they're actually bringing you the ticket and then say, I want to see this. If they say that I clocked you doing 55 and a 45, say, I want to see this 55 on your gun.
Yeah, well...
And maybe take a digital camera picture.
I wouldn't say I want to see it, but I would ask him very politely, may I see the radar evidence?
Right.
And if he declines, I'll just say, okay, that's fine.
And then
and
you
I'd
can
leave
use
it
that.
At that. And I'd bring that up later in court that I asked to see the radar gun, the officer refused to show it to me.
Exactly. You can use that against them in the court.
So okay. I mean that's actually I never thought about it like that. So I might think about that next time I get pulled over.
Great. And when they throw you in jail for being a dick, you're gonna call me with your one phone call. All right. Well, what other advice? We're gonna close up here. Let's get we're giving some good ways to get out of tickets. Our main topic tonight. I think this is actually good, useful information. This is good social engineering topic. It's not exactly tech related, but I think this is very appropriate. What other, you got any other secrets before we get out? You want any other ideas you want to pose to people?
Yeah, well, of course, the first thing I always do, too, when a ticket is presented to me, when you sign it, I always sign it all rights reserved, so that there's no construing that I'm actually going to physically appear in court, because in California you have the right to appear by mail and everything, and you always sign a little notice that says I promise to appear in court. And also, another thing you can ask the officer in California, you can tell them that you work or live closer to the county seat, and ask that the court be set for the county seat instead of the local court. Now, the officer can refuse this request, and he's not supposed to, but if he does, on your ticket, you should sign your name and then put under protest. That way you can carry out the court case even longer by seeing the judge and asking for a motion of change of venue. And you basically tell them, I asked the officer for a change of venue when he gave me the ticket. I wanted it in the county seat because I work or live closer there. And I would like to submit a change of venue so that I can get this resolved in another court. And then the judge will then set the motion for that. And then the cop will have to drive all the way out to the county seat. Hmm. And a lot of the times they're not going to want to do that, so they just won't show up.
Hmm. And all of these forms, I think it should be pointed out, at least in your experience, in your cases, are available on the global interweb.
That is correct.
So you can print off everything and fill it out at your leisure and mail most of this stuff in.
Yeah, and another, if we're about to get off topic, I'd like to suggest for anyone that's interested in this, especially if you live in California, you should buy this book. It's called Beat Your Ticket, California. It's by NOLO, N-O-L-O. And you can get that at Barnes & Noble's or Borders.
All righty. Well, I think we're running out of time here. And let's close like this, because that was kind of a vague topic, and I can't think of any other questions offhand, off the top of my head. So let's close out here and remind people our email address is radio@benrev.com. Email us if you have any other questions or ideas or stories. And Lucky
yeah,
and
I
will...
And you didn't even let me get to share my main story with running the stop sign a week ago.
Oh, well, we got like 2 minutes.
Well, I mean, I just wanted to point out another thing is cops will try and get away with anything. And I had ran a stop sign.
Allegedly.
And I first did a trial by declaration. And when I showed up in court, the officer's testimony... He was reading right from his trial by declaration that he had submitted previously. And if you read in the evidence code, first of all, that cop was supposed to admit that as evidence, and he's also supposed to say whether or not he's reading it because he can't recall or if he's reading it to refresh his memory. And I also got that evidence dismissed because it was a new trial, and he was reading from the trial by declaration. And it's supposed to be all things are new, so I got the trial by declaration stuff dismissed, so he couldn't bring up anything that I had testified beforehand up in court.
Oh, man. Lucky, you are elite. I don't care what anybody says.
I also had came up with a very good defense. I asked him if, because he had testified that there was also other cross traffic in the area.
Now, when you say you asked him,
I was posing a danger to. I asked him if he could identify any of the make, model, or colors of any of this other cross traffic, which he couldn't.
Now, when you say you asked him, you mean you got up in front of a judge and he was on the stand or something, and you asked him questions?
Yeah. Well, once the officer gives testimony and you give your testimony, you're also entitled to ask the officer. Well, actually, before you give your testimony, you're entitled to ask the officer questions. It's a cross-examination.
Right.
And I actually asked the officer, you know, a couple questions, like whether or not he could identify the make, model, or color of any of the other cross traffic that he testified that I was endangering, which he could not. And then I asked him if he considered himself to have high powers of observation.
He did not.
And he said that he had excellent powers of observation. So after I gave my testimony, I tried to remind the court that, you know, this officer has testified that he has high powers of observation, yet in his testimony he identifies cross traffic, but he can't identify the make, model, or even the color of the cross traffic. And I don't believe that. If he can't even identify that, how can he identify me running a stop, you know? I believe there's reasonable doubt, and this case should be dismissed. And the cop was like, yeah, well, that's very nice and articulate. Guilty. That's what the judge said to me.
How many other people were in the courtroom when you saw all this? Anybody?
Yeah, there was a lot of people in the courtroom. I was the last traffic case, and then it was going to go into misdemeanors.
I would have stood in the back and applauded.
Oh, man.
All right,
pissed
well.
Pissed me off. I was thinking about appealing it, but anyways.
Anyway, do it all over again, though. All right, anyway, yeah, let's wrap up here. Radio@benrev.com. If there's any questions, not that Lucky's like a total authority or anything, but he's been through this a few times, to put it politely.
Yeah, I should also point out I do not.
I am not a lawyer.
I am not empowered to give legal advice. Right. I'm not a lawyer or an attorney.
That is our disclaimer. We cannot speak for your particular cases, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah,
but
I'm not
if you have any
to practice law either. So.
General questions, opinions, email us, radio@benrev.com. We'll hang on to them for a couple of weeks, and we'll readdress this topic if we get some good ones. How about that?
Alrighty.
All right. Site of the week this week. I'm going to give the site of the week. I know this is kind of a cop-out, but I'm going to give it to oldschoolfreak.com because Natus and M2 Mike, longtime friend of the show and the site, they just got their hands on the source code to Tone Loke. I think the last edition or whatever that was ever released, they actually got the original source code. And this is, you know, a long time ago, back before the open source movement ever happened. I'm sure it was not, like, intentionally kept or hidden anywhere, but I'd never seen or heard of it anywhere before. So they were able to dig this up with permission from the author and post it up on oldschoolfreak.com. So go check that out, because this is really a piece of hacking history and freaking history, if you will. Tone Loke, of course,
definitely.
Being like the war dialer.
Yeah, this is a nice little war dialer. I mean, it kept track of everything, right?
Yeah. It was awesome, and source code is available, and kind of hoping that we'll see somebody maybe take the initiative to jump in and work on it with Old School Freak or work on it with some other people in the forums and see if we can get it ported over to Linux, which, again, back when this came out, was not really what it is today. So,
yeah, back
ported,
then, I mean, freaking
updated.
Was pretty much all those freaking programs were closed source because it didn't really matter. You were using it for freaking. You weren't caring what the software was.
Right. You know, I'm sure it was shared with circles of friends, but that was pretty much it.
Yeah.
Shout-outs. I'll give two shout-outs specifically from my DEF CON, DC305, Hack City. Shout-out to Qubits and to Concerto Monk. That's my shout-out. So, Lucky, what do you got for shouts?
My shout-out, definitely going to go to Natus again this week. Mm-hmm. Kick-ass guy. Decoder. I know he can't hear us, but giving him a shout-out.
Pour some 40 from my homeboy Decoder.
Yeah, that's all I got for right now.
All right, and in honor of Lucky and his new addiction, we're going to close out the show this week with a track called Catch Me from Mei Lin. You might better know it as the theme song from Welcome to the Scene. And Lucky's opening segment to the show. And I think that's going to do it this week. Lucky, thank you again for being on the show. And we will tell everybody. All right, now everybody except for System Shock Sore. Everybody else, we'll see you next week. Same hack time.
Same hack channel.
I could tell my friends, but they think I've lost it anyway. That this is just a passing phase. And the running will wither down to the place I'm supposed to go. In the lines I'm supposed to know. I haven't yet figured out.